Welcome to Machine Learning, How the World Works. The Hickerman horse and the woolly mammoth, what do they have in common? Well, you might be surprised after you hear this podcast what I think about what they have in common. Now, the Hickerman horse is often called the pig horse. And as I was looking at the skeletal structure of the Hickerman horse, it has a very straight spine. And that makes me wonder if it is a pig, because if you look at a pig's spine, it's very straight. It doesn't curve like a horse spine does. But yet, when I was querying the search engine about why science thought that this was a horse, was because of its teeth. And so that was kind of exciting, because for science, they could make the jump that this was a ancestor to the modern day horse, that the horse didn't just emerge. Horse is one of the most loved creatures on the earth, loved animals. And if it were to just emerge, that would cause a cataclysmic contradiction in the way evolution said the horse evolved. That the horse evolved from some ancestor such as the Hickerman horse. Well, that makes me wonder if science does that a lot, where they don't necessarily find the DNA or RNA or the molecular linkage, but that they look for certain traits. Does it have a hoof? Yes. Does it have teeth? Yes. Do those teeth resemble any other animal that we currently know? Well, what probability of resemblance do they then conclude that the teeth of the Hickerman horse is not the teeth of a pig, but the teeth of a horse? And so there must be some preponderance of evidence, some degree of evidence that says it's reasonable to say that what we're seeing here in the structure and in the function of these teeth of the Hickerman horse must match that of a modern-day horse. Okay, well, let's talk about the modern-day horse. It can eat hay, it can eat grass, it's not a herbivore, or it's not a meat eater that we know of. It's capable of running fast speeds, carrying heavy weight for a certain degree of distance. And it's quite a bit bigger than the Hickerman horse. The Hickerman horse is actually a very small horse. It almost reminds me of a miniature horse, if that's what it is. And if we look at the where it was located, so it was found in a, looks like a mudslide that that then later was dug up by paleontologists and pieced together, and it became quite famous. In fact, I was talking to some in-laws, and they were telling me that they were in Czechoslovakia, and they were talking to some friends, and those friends were talking about the Hickerman horse. And so that caused them to ask the question, what's the Hickerman horse? Because they had heard that they were from Idaho. The Hickerman horse was found in Burley, Idaho. And so the horse had become quite famous throughout the world. Well, let's switch gears now, taking on this line of thought of divergence versus emergence. If we look at the woolly mammoth, mastodon, and the African elephant, they look fairly similar. They have a fairly big spine. They have long forelegs. They have a curve in their back, so their back seems, the back legs seem to be shorter than the front legs. They have a big head, skull. They have a big skull. And they have a trunk, or we believe they have a trunk. We don't actually know, because the trunk, unless it had bones in it, the remains of any bones from the mastodon or the woolly mammoth, we wouldn't know if it had a trunk, but we assume that it's a predecessor of the African elephant. Now, there's a group of people that are scientists that study the molecular qualities of the bone. Now, one of the problems with looking at molecular qualities of the bone and trying to find DNA is that dinosaur bones are mineralized. And so it would be like trying to piece together a huge puzzle at the DNA level if they did find any organic strands that had mineralized. And so I think at best you could do is look under a electron microscope at a bone cross-section, take one of the mastodon, the woolly mammoth, and compare that against the bone structure of an African elephant or Asian elephant or so forth. And so, it's like the Hagerman horse. You're looking at key features to say these animals are linked. And if you believe in the idea of divergence, you would say at some point, maybe 6 million years ago or 11 million years ago, depending on which one you believe, that there was a divergence that occurred, and that perhaps the woolly mammoth stayed in the area where it was cold, or in some cases they found woolly mammoths in the Lahar tar pits, and also in Florida. And they believed the woolly mammoth was not, or at least the mastodon may have existed as late as 12,000 years ago. So consider the fact that if the mastodon was still on the earth and was not extinct 12,000 years ago, is it possible that man and the mammoth would have been in the same chronological timeline? Yes, I think it's possible. And again, I would like to have reread that article again and look at the facts, look at the evidences that put the within proximity of the two species, man and mastodon. Okay, let's go back to the woolly mammoth. Okay, the woolly mammoth had gone into extinction way before the Asian or the African elephant shows up in history, in the chronology line. So there was a divergence at some point, and we don't know the migration path of the woolly mammoth to the African elephant, but evolution tries to put everything starting at Africa. So which came first? The African elephant that emerged into the woolly mammoth, and then the woolly mammoth dies out, but the Asian elephant survives? That seems like a kind of a strange thing, considering that the woolly mammoth was significantly larger than the African elephant. So that doesn't seem to work. Okay, so then we start with the Ice Age, and things are getting cold, and the glaciers are moving down from North America down into from Canada down into United States. And with that, there comes lots of snow and ice, and we have large animals that seem to be able to live in that cold environment. We assume that it was cold. Maybe they were just big, and they were moving down ahead of the glaciers, and that's why they end up in areas like California and the Lahar Tar Pit, and in Florida. And maybe they lived at the time man did, so they were domesticated and used for pulling stones or have large amounts of earth and doing work. So there is a causal link between the woolly mammoth and the African elephant. And the causal link is chronology. One had died off before the other. And so the best case you could argue is that divergence occurred between the woolly mammoth and the African elephant, and ignore the fact of a migration path, and ignore the fact of incremental mastodon transformations into the African elephant. So if there wasn't this morphine between the two species, then I think divergence theory is much weaker than emergence theory. And emergence theory states that the African elephant just shows up, fully functional in the form that it is, doesn't change much. There might be some minor adaptions in weight and migration paths over time, but the basic structures don't change. The woolly mammoth will never turn into a cat. The woolly mammoth will never transform into a fish. Now, you might make the argument that a dolphin is a dog, and that it will transform eventually from the water to the land, but it's never happened, and I don't think it ever will. So this idea of transformation is almost like the same argument that science uses for changing gold or lead into gold, that the elements transmute, or there's nuclear synthesis that occurs where elements are being transformed from one element into another, and the idea that you can create gold from lead is just a function of energy, because you just change the molecular structure of the element, and then you get gold. Okay, so if that's true, why don't they do it? Well, the argument is it's not cost effective. It would take more energy than was cost effective to get your return on the gold that lead to gold produced. Okay, so there you go. Transmutation doesn't make sense. It's not cost effective. So why would nature do something that is not cost effective? Well, that is a strange thing, because usually nature will follow the path of least resistance. Water goes down a hill. Animals migrate to a place of food. Animals follow streams where there's water. Nature follows the path of least resistance. Very rarely going to engineer something that's better. It usually tries to adapt to what it has. Okay, so that's the difference between man and the other species, is he can adapt to a situation, and he can create new designs that are better and make more sense for survival. Like, he can build cities. He can build systems for producing food that are more productive than growing on land. He can grow them vertically. He can grow them in a sphere. He can have robots constantly harvesting the food. And he can utilize sunlight and water recycling. and grow them in UV light in the evening. So they're and not exhaust the plant. So man does have a way to produce things that he needs that defy entropy. But nature generally doesn't defy entropy. The old die, the weak perish, and the animals and species follow the path of least resistance. So the woolly mammoth, I don't believe is a, there is enough evidence or facts to support that the African elephant is a descendant of the woolly mammoth. Perhaps at some point that they were related because of features. You might argue that they're similar features and they might have been distantly related. Like there were ancient crocodiles that looked similar to existing crocodiles. But there is not a an ancient sea turtle that relates to the existing sea turtle. That's why they call it the living fossil. So I think it's a kind of a desperate grasp to connect the African elephant to the woolly mammoth.